Tata Satashi Shima, Divine Grace of Aya, Chadanana Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Iskan Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Huridas Thakur Ki Jai, Ram Say Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Mrindi Kijaya Shri Shri Radha Krishna Govindapada Sayam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijaya Vrindavanam Kijai, Jiranam Kijai, Jiranasami Kijai, Yuvanamai Kijai, Shimadagalasire Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bho. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premananda. So, Om Gada Tivananda Shaganjana Shilakaya Chakshulam Meditam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Nice to see everybody here. Welcome to the Tulsi Shalagram Vivaha ceremony. So, we're going to tell the story about Tulsi's appearance as the Tulsi tree in this world because it is a very important story because the worship of Tulsi is so important that simply by worshiping Tulsi you can become a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I remember the first time, it's a little humorous story, that I walked into a Hare Krishna temple. I was about the age of these kids here. 1968 or 9. And I saw everybody running around this bush. And I didn't know anything about Tulsi, so I said, everybody gets going running around the bush, bowing down to a bush, watering the bush. I thought, uh-oh, I better run away before they start offering me into the fire. So, from that day to today, of course, I've learned quite a bit. But, just by seeing that occur with Tulsi, they're running around Tulsi Devi, bowing down to Tulsi Devi, and I even watered Tulsi Devi that day. Because I wanted to follow everybody else so I wouldn't feel embarrassed that I was a stranger there. So from her mercy, I'm here today. And of course, ultimately, it's Srila Prabhupada's mercy who brought Tulsi Devi to the Western world and the worship of Radha and Krishna to the Western world. So that's called Agyata Sukriti. Those of you who don't know what Agyata Sukriti means, we were talking about this morning. It means doing something spiritual without knowing that you're doing it. And we have many spiritual things that we do without knowing what we're doing, especially if you don't have much knowledge, like chanting Hare Krishna. If someone chants Hare Krishna and they don't know what it means or what they're doing, they still make spiritual advancement. Worshipping Tulsi. You don't. It doesn't matter whether you know what you're doing or not what you're doing, and you still make spiritual advancement. It's so powerful, just like fire. You don't have to believe that fire is hot to get burnt, right? I didn't believe it when I was young. I didn't believe that fire would burn me. So my mother had to teach me. And then I believed. But it burnt me, even though I didn't believe it. So many things we believe and don't believe in, it doesn't matter. Reality is different from our belief or our disbelief in things. For example, when I was young, I believed that if I jumped off a chair, I could fly. Guess what happened? I ended up flat on my face. Of course, I was young, so I didn't break any bones. But if I tried it now, I'd be in big trouble. So Tulsi Devi is on the highest spiritual platform. So simply by worshiping or touching or watering Tulsi Devi, one will ultimately become a resident of the spiritual world. That's how potent the worship of Tulsi is. So, the story of Tulsi Devi is quite unusual, and it's hard for people to understand specifically the parts where there's cursing. You know what cursing? Cursing doesn't mean bad words in this particular case, you know, like four-letter words. In this particular case, cursing means when a great sage or a personality in the spiritual world curses someone to come down to the material world to become a demon. That doesn't appear to be very nice, does it? Like if I were to say to one of you, I curse you to become a rakshasa. Would you like that? And I take, of course, in the Vedic system, there's a way to curse. You take a little water in your palm. We've done it a few times. And you throw it at someone, you say, ah, Ayush, be become, I won't say. Anyway. You don't want to say it because it might happen. So anyway, so what you actually see is stories of sages in the Vedic literature is cursing people to become rakshasas, cursing people to become the demons in Krishna's pastimes. And so it's quite dangerous. Another way of cursing is breaking your Brahman thread. You're just breaking, you're cursing. I curse you. So that's why we have Brahman threads to curse people with. So, and that's why the ladies don't have Brahman threads, because they'd be more inclined to curse than the men. So that's the answer. So, joking aside, and the story of Tulsi Devi involves some cursing. So you may think, and cursing, not only ordinary cursing, but cursing to go from the spiritual world to the material world. And the cursing is being done by none other than Krishna's great devotee, Srimati Radharani. So you may think, oh my God, what's happening here? Why is this cursing going on? What's so nice about it? Is it nice or is it not nice? What's the point? Well, I'll explain the point. There's something called lila. Now, some of you may not have heard of the word lila. Lila means basically play, something that someone does voluntarily. Most of us don't have too many lilas. The children have more lilas than we do. But after they go to school, forget about the lilas. Then they're forced to go to school. Oh, he likes to go to school, right? Because he's going to Gurukula. He's one of the rare children. But a lila means basically play, what you do in your spare time. Because someone who doesn't have to work, his whole life is lila. Just like myself, I'm over 65, so I don't have to work, so my whole life is not really, I do have to work. I just attended a GBC meeting in Ujjain for 9 days, and that was not lila. That was not playful activity. So, I mean, I'm still working at 68, so there's no retirement in Krishna consciousness. So, lila means something you just do for fun, and it's just pure fun. So you find little children sometimes, they play parts of different, let's say, stories or pastimes. I remember when I was young, we didn't play Krishna's pastimes, unfortunately. We played stories like Little Red Riding Hood or something. And someone played a wolf. Anyway, whatever. Children do things out of fun. So in the spiritual realm, everybody is doing things out of fun. They're playing different dramatic parts, like cops and robbers, like we used to do when we were young, or just something out of fun. So, therefore, this cursing that you'll see, this apparent cursing, this real cursing, which appears to be very cruel, is being done so the devotees could do some fun things in the material world. Because Krishna's devotees, they like to travel all over doing fun things. I'll give you an example apart from the Tulsi Shalagram Lila. There's the story of the four Kumaras cursing Jai and Vijay. Most of you know that story. The four Kumaras, they were very upset with Jai and Vijay because they wouldn't let him in to the spiritual world. And because of that, they cursed them. That you should become demons. And they became demons. Demons like Aranyaksha, Aranyakashipu, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Shishupal, Dantavakra. And eventually they went back to the spiritual world. But they actually enjoy this. They enjoy becoming demons. Why would someone enjoy becoming a demon? Does anyone know? Because they're serving Krishna. If Krishna says, just like with the coward boys, Krishna was in Vrindavan over 5,000 years ago, and sometimes the coward boys would wrestle with Krishna. And sometimes they would win. Sometimes Krishna would win. And they enjoy that. So Krishna enjoys these leelas of pastimes to express, to have the fullest expression of what we call ras. Not ras, ras. You know the difference? Ras means dance, ras means a taste or something. He wants to have the fullest expression of all of his enjoyment, and the devotees want to assist Krishna. So that's why this cursing is going on that we're going to describe in this story. It's not cruel. It's not that Radharani wants to hurt someone. It's that Radharani wants to help Krishna enjoy ras, and the devotees want to cooperate so they can also enjoy this ras with Krishna. That's the highest ecstasy, is to be a servant of Krishna. In the material realm, everyone is trying to be master. Ishwaroham aham bhogi siroham balavan sukhi. But in the spiritual realm, we all want to please Krishna. And the gopis, they say, Krishna, you can crush us by your embrace. You can leave us brokenhearted by not being present before us. But you are completely free to do anything and everything and remain our worshipful Lord unconditioned. That's love. Love in the spiritual world is not based on what the person can do for you, but what you can do for the person. You understand that? That's a very important principle. What you can do to please Krishna. And if Krishna is pleased, then you're happy. Why is that? Because Krishna is the root of the tree, and when you water the root, guess what? All the leaves get watered, and we're all the leaves. Krishna's the root, we're all the leaves, and we want to be happy. We make Krishna happy. And if we try to make ourselves happy, dukkhaliyam vishasvatam, we just become miserable. The more we try, the more miserable we become, or frustrated we become. Even if you buy an iPhone X, you will still be miserable. They buy it, and then do you see them smiling 2 days later? No. They're unhappy because they spent their money. Okay, so here's the story with that brief introduction. This story is from the Padma Purana, and Narada Muni is asking Narayan, the context is Narada Muni is asking Narayan, how did Tulsi become your wife? You know, tell us the whole story. And the story starts as follows. We're going to tell the story about Tulsi, and then Shankachuta, and then what happened to them. Shankachuta was Sudama, who got cursed to come to the material world. And Tulsi was Tulsi in the spiritual world, who got cursed to come down to the material world. Both by Chuparo. Of course, you don't speak Hindi. Please be quiet. Shh. Femme la boca, that's French. What language do I have to speak so that you'll understand? Okay. I already spoke Hindi, French. What other language? Croatian? English? Quiet. Of course, I use a very slang expression in Hindi. All right, so what happened is Narayan asked this question, and Tulsi is actually an expansion of Radharani, as are all the Shaktis in the spiritual world. Radharani has Asta Shakti, the primary 8 expansions who serve her, that means the 8 friends of Radharani, the 8 Sakis, Asta Sakis. And then Tulsi is an expansion of one of them. And so Tulsi one time got intimate with Krishna. And it's not that that's really against Radharani's desire, but she sometimes exhibits her man. Her man means her anger. And Krishna likes to see her angry. And sometimes even Narada Muni makes plans to see Radharani angry. He arranges for Radharani's other associate, Lalita Devi, to be on a swing with Srimati Radharani, with Krishna. And then Radharani comes and gets angry, And Narada Muni enjoys that, and Krishna enjoys that. So that's the man, or the anger of Srimati Radharani. So anyway, she gets angry that Krishna's associating with Tulsi Devi. And she curses her to take birth in India. And on the earth planet. And Krishna assures her, don't worry. You will marry me eventually on the earth planet. So at the same time, there's two great devotees of Vishnu named Dharmadwaja and Madhavi who are worshipping Vishnu for a child. And they give birth to Tulsi Devi, who's described in the Padma Purana. And they give birth after, she gives birth, Madhavi, the mother of Tulsi Devi, after 100 years. And it's described that Tulsi has a lotus flower on her foot, her eyes are lotus, her lips are bimba. Bimba means like a type of fruit. That's a traditional way of describing red in Sanskrit, like the bimba fruit, rakta bimba. And anyway, all auspicious signs in her body, and she always would remain, she's born in 16 years of age. That's the best age, actually. None of you are 16 yet? 16? No? After 16, it's all downhill. Believe me, I've experienced it. So she always remains 16 years of age, and she's called Tulsi, which in Sanskrit actually means matchless. There's no one who matches her. So she wants to have Vishnu as her husband or Krishna as her husband, because she remembers she's Jatusmarna. She remembers her past life in the spiritual world. And so she performs austerities in Bhadarika Ashrama for 100,000 years. And these austerities are pretty austere. For 20,000 years, she just eats fruits and water. For 30,000, just dry leaves. For 40,000, she just breathes. And for 10,000, nothing, and she stands on one leg. Wow. Do we have to do these austerities to attain Krishna?
No.
What austerities do we do? Janar Krishna and Prasadam. It's very easy. Kali Yuga is very easy. Kalaudeshan, Roshanadhe, Rajanashjeko, Mahaduna, Kirtanadeva, Krishna, Shabukta, Sangha, Brahmajay. You simply chant the holy names and eat prasadam. Chant Hare Krishna and eat prasadam. A few other things too. And then after that time, Brahma appears and says, what do you want? And he says, well, before you have Vishnu as your husband, you have to marry Shankachuda, who in Gokul was Sudam. And later on, you'll become known as Vrindavani. And so she says, okay, I'll just go along with the plan here. So then, let's talk about the appearance of Shankachuda. Shankachuda, of course, was Sudam previously. And the way he got cursed was that Krishna was flirting with another girl in the spiritual world. Her name was Viraj. Krishna is definitely not so self-controlled, not regarded. No, he is self-controlled. But when we talk about him flirting or having a relationship, these are loving relationships. There's nothing mundane or material about these relationships. In the perverted material world, then these relationships have a negative aspect, a really negative aspect, as you're reading the news today about so many important or so-called important people having improper relationships with women. So, anyway, so Radharani gets very angry at this Viraj, and she starts yelling and screaming at her. Sudam chastises Radharani. That's one thing you don't want to do. Krishna, he's afraid. He doesn't say anything. Just like some of you husbands who are married, if your wife gets really angry, yes, 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 yes. You're right. You're right. You are very right. You are always right. And then the lady calms down. So Krishna has learned his lesson in that regard. He doesn't argue with Radharani. And so, but Sudam gets very angry because Krishna is also being chastised. And Radharani gets angry at Sudama and she curses him to become a demon of the material world. And Sudama starts crying, why do I have to go to that place? Radharani feels compassionate, and Krishna says, this is all my plan. So everyone's standing to the side, no, another one of Krishna's plans. Krishna has all these plans. He is so tricky. He is the trickiest person I know. So Krishna says, don't worry, Sudama. You're going to go to the material world, but you'll be back in an instant. And why does he say an instant? Because the time in the material world is, let's say, relative to the time in the spiritual world. Let's say if someone leaves the spiritual world and comes down to the material world, because the difference in the experience of time is so great, it's like half an instant, and they come back. And it's a longer time in the material world. Okay, so then Sudama is cursed, and he takes birth as this demon, Shankachuda, who is the son of Damba, who is a devotee of Krishna. And for 100,000 years, he begins to worship Krishna, because he's actually a devotee. And the demigods go to Vishnu, and they say, what should we do? And don't worry, this Sudama is coming down, Shankachuda, and he's going to be an invincible devotee of Krishna, ultimately. So, getting back to Tulsi, Tulsi is getting benedictions from Brahma at this particular juncture, like we talked about before. And Tulsi says, I have a problem. I'm afraid of Radharani. And Lord Brahma says, you can have a mantra by which Radha will become very dear to you and you'll become dear to her. It's a 16-letter Radha mantra, which I'm not going to teach you today because you're not ready. So Tulsi worshipped Radha for 12 years. And after 12 years of worshipping Radharani, she actually developed a desire to associate with Shankachuda. Because it was Krishna's pastimes. See, Radharani is engaging, ultimately, Radharani is engaging her and everybody in Krishna's pastimes, because all of Krishna's pastimes are under the jurisdiction of the internal potency of the Lord. The internal potency is under the jurisdiction of Srimati Radharani. Radharani is the Ladini Shakti of Krishna. Ladini Shakti means the pleasure potency. In the spiritual realm, we have three aspects, the Samvit, Sandini, and Ladini Shakti. That means the existential potency, that which maintains the spiritual world, the cognitive potency, that means the knowledge potency, and then you have the pleasure potency. So all these different pastimes, Radharani is directing, ultimately, to give Krishna pleasure. So all the devotees, Daiva Yesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Dorachaya Mama Eva Ye Prapajante. So this material energy is very difficult. The one who goes under the jurisdiction of Radharani, the internal potency of the Lord, then they can actually engage in Krishna's pastimes. So all devotees are under the jurisdiction of Srimati Radharani. And of course, Radharani has many expansions too. She has many Lakshmis, Sakis, your friends are the first expansions, and then the other expansions are the wives of Krishna in Dwarka, and then the Lakshmis, and they're all expansions of Srimati Radharani. Like you have all these different expansions of Krishna. You have Lord Vishnu, you have Nrisimhadev, you have Varaha, you have Kurma. So in the same way, Radharani is expanding. These are all Shakti expansions of Srimati Radharani. So, Kamadev affects Tulsi Devi at this point. Kamadev means Cupid. Just like here in America, you have our Cupid Day, right? February 14th or something like that? Is that right? How do you know? He was an innocent young boy, huh? And Cupid has his arrows of form, taste, smell, like that, touch. and it attracts you, just like you become attracted to nice tasting food, right? That's Cupid also. It's not only romance. So she becomes struck with Cupid, or Cupid strikes her, in the case, and she falls in love with Shankarchuta. In the meantime, Shankarchuta is performing more austerity, and Lord Brahma appears to him and says that you should marry Tulsi Devi, and you're going to be invincible. In other words, the demigods are not going to be able to do anything with you. And I'm going to give you an amulet that you wear around your neck. It's called the Sarva Mangala. Sarva Mangala Maya. That means all auspiciousness energy that will protect you. No one can hurt you as long as you're wearing this amulet. And as long as Tulsi Devi is chaste to you, then you're protected. No one can hurt you. No one can kill you. Because it's described that even in the mature world, that a chaste lady, she can protect her husband. It's interesting, just like there's the story in the Markandeya Purana, how one chaste lady was protecting her husband and was cursed to die by Markandeya Rishi. Markandeya Rishi cursed him to die before the sun rose the next day, and she said, I'm going to stop the sun from rising the next day. And she did. Can you imagine that? So the wife is chaste to the husband, she can actually stop the sun from rising. Wow. So that's why I'm very careful dealing with the ladies. Scared. Because if they curse me or do it, I'm finished. So, anyway, I won't tell stories about how I offended and then I did get cursed. I won't tell that story. So Tulsi is protecting Shankarchuta. Shankarchuta goes to Bhadrik Ashram where Tulsi is still meditating after she has gotten her benediction from Lord Brahma. And he says, I want to marry you. And Tulsi tests him. How does she test him? She says, don't trust me. And he's, you know, there's so many different verses that she brings out. But ultimately he says, but you are in the mode of goodness, so you can't be trusted. Someone in the mode of passion or ignorance, whether man or woman, cannot be trusted. But someone who is Krishna conscious can be trusted. What is this day? Yashasti bhakti bhagavat chakinchana sarvaganas tatra samasate sara rabba bhaktasha makho. That one who has devotion for Krishna has all the good qualities of the demigods. And harabha bhaktasha, one who doesn't have devotion, manorite nasati davato bahi, then no good qualities. Because, in other words, one who has devotion and then the mode of goodness, they're stable, they can always be trusted. They're predictable. Someone who's in the mode of passion, they're not predictable. Someone who's in the mode of ignorance is specifically not predictable. You never know when they're going to get violent. You never know when they're going to get crazy. And one in the mode of passion is simply trying to utilize the situation to get more and more for themselves. More money, more sense gratification, or something like that. So someone in the mode of goodness, they're ultimately very predictable. So she, of course, is in the mode of goodness. And he says, Lord Brahma sent me. Let's get married. I'm Sudam. And you're Tulsi from the spiritual world. And we all know our past, and this is what we're supposed to do. And Brahma appears, and he performs the marriage ceremony. And so Shankarchuta becomes very powerful, and he enjoys his kingdom for, it's described, 4,300,000 years. It's a long time. And he gets complete control of all the heavenly planets. Pretty good, isn't it? That means Swarga with all the dancing girls and all that other nice stuff. Not a place for sannyasis. And then all the demigods, they go to Lord Brahma to make a complaint. That's what they usually do. Brahma goes to Shiva, then they go to Vaikuntha. And they go to Lord Narayan, gives a trident, that means with three forks on it, to kill this Shankarchuta. And he explains that I will take care of taking away this amulet, this protective thing that Shankachuta has, and I will take care of violating Tulsi's chastity, and you're going to be able to kill this Shankachuta very easily at this point. So before he does this, before Lord Vishnu, you know, takes away the amulet and violates Tulsi's chastity, Lord Shiva still tries to kill Shankachuta. And Lord Shiva, Kartikeya, all the demigods, Bhadrakali, they challenge Shankachuta to a battle. And Shankachuta tells his wife, Tulsi, I guess we got to fight this battle. And she says, no, it's not a good idea. And he says, don't worry. Even if I'm killed in the future, we'll be back with Radha and Krishna. We're just having a pastime here. So the whole time they're remembering it's a pastime. Because they're Dattasmaran, in other words, they're remembering their past lives. Does anyone here remember their past life? No? No one here. So if you can remember your past life, it'd be quite interesting. Because it wasn't with Krishna in the spiritual world. It was probably... Anyway, I'm not going to mention it. Just like Prabhupada mentioned, there was one politician who took birth as a dog in Sweden. I won't mention what politician that is, because some of you may get upset. So then what happens? They remember in their past lives, he goes and he installs, Shankachuta installs his son as the king at this point, and he goes out with 300,000 Akshahini forces. Akshahini means thousands of soldiers, elephants, tigers, you know, whatever is fighting for you. And he bows first before fighting, because this is very chivalrous, to Lord Shiva and Bhadrakali. And Lord Shiva explains his whole past, and Shankachuta says, I know that. Then he has a battle with all these different demigods. Kali hurls her weapons, and she can't do anything to Shankachuta. And she gets her trident ready, and Kali is stopped by a voice saying that Lord Brahma has given this benediction. And so she stops fighting Shankachuta, but instead she eats all these demons. She devours the demons, which is really interesting. Some of them actually crawl out of her mouth while she's chewing. This is, I mean, really something. Imagine doing a movie of this. That would be an interesting movie. So Lord Shiva offers battle, and they fight for 1 year. And he tries to kill Shankachuta with his trident, but there's a voice who says, no, wait until the amulet is taken away and her chastity is violated. So Vishnu appears at that point. He takes the form of a very old Brahmin. And in Vedic culture, if a Brahmin asks you for something, you've got to give it. Or a sannyasi asks you for something, you got to give it. So I'm going to try that later on after the class. Because we have some renovation to do in the temple and other things like that. So the Brahmin asks for this amulet. And he takes away the amulet that's protecting Shankachuta. Then he takes the form of Shankachuta. And he makes believe that he's Shankachuta. And he goes to Tulsi and says, hey, battle's over, sweetie. Oh, no, sweetie. Oh, Priya. The battle's over. Which means the same thing. Priya. This means the same thing. The battle's over, and Lord Brahma just, like, declared a truce, so let's celebrate. And so what he does is he has a relationship with Tulsi Devi. And, of course, it's not her husband, so Tulsi Devi, in one sense, has been unchaste. And so then, after that, he's fighting. The real Shankachuta is fighting with Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva fires his trident, which has been given to him by Lord Vishnu, which is like 100 yojanas long, or very long. And Shankachuta sees this coming. He meditates, and... he basically leaves his body and goes back to the spiritual world. He's meditating on Krishna's lotus feet. And his bones are tossed in the ocean. And those bones become what?
Conch shells.
And those conch shells are very auspicious. There's actually two types of conchas. One is the right-handed, one is the left-handed. And the special Lakshmi conchas. If you can get a hold of a Lakshmi concha, then Lakshmi is there. But, so those people who blow on the conchas, if they're qualified, Lakshmi comes. But if you're not qualified, and you blow on the conch, guess what? She runs away. So you got to be careful. Don't blow on the conch if you're not chanting your 16 rounds. What do you think, Ayush? No, you can blow on the conch, even if you're not chanting 16 rounds. But if you're doing improper things, like if someone's eating meat or taking intoxication or gambling or something like that, that's against Dharma, and they blow on a conch, they lose Lakshmi. But if you're qualified and you blow in a conch, Lakshmi comes. So these are the bones. Conch shells are actually the bones of Shankachuta. The conch indicates Hari and Lakshmi, and there all inauspicious things disappear. So Sudama, of course, now in the spiritual world with Radha and Krishna, and they're happy to see him back. And it's described they're so happy to see him back, they take him on their laps. Because they have like a loving, there's so much love in the spiritual world. But Tulsi, at the same time, going back to the story on the Earth planet, she discovers that who she thinks is Shankachuta is not actually Shankachuta, it's Vishnu. And she gets really angry. And she says, "Who are you?" And I'm going to curse you. You're not my husband. And Vishnu assumes his normal form, or, you know, forearms like that. And she said, "You are the heart of a stone. What you've done." And she curses him. And she says, "Because you have a heart of a stone," I'm going to read the direct quote, Tulsi Uvacha. "O Lord, you were like a stone, you were merciless, you violated my chastity by deception, and by this means you have killed my husband. O Lord, you are merciless. Yes, your heart is like a stone. Therefore, I curse you to become a stone. Those who call you holy are wrong." Oh my God. "Your devotee committed no offense, and yet for the sake of others you killed him. Why?" And Vishnu responds, "O exalted one, you performed austerities for a long time to get me as your husband. And Shankachuta also performed austerities for a long time to get you as his wife. By that austerity, he fulfilled his wish. It was then necessary for me to fulfill your wish. For this reason, I did what I did. Now leave your earthly body and assume a spiritual body and be married to me. Be like Lakshmi. Your body will become a famous river known as Gandaki. A virtuous, pure, transparent river in the holy land of India," because now it's in Nepal. "Your hairs will be transformed into holy trees, and since the trees will be born of you, they will be known as Tulsi trees. And all the residents of the three worlds will perform worship with the leaves and flowers of this tree. Thus you, Tulsi, will reign as the best amongst trees." And of course, there's many benedictions that Tulsi, that anybody worships Tulsi has. And I'm not going to read all those benedictions because the time is short. But there's another pastime that occurs with Tulsi that you may not be aware of. That when Tulsi returned to the spiritual world and her body became Gandaki, and the worms cut the stones in there and they became the Shalagram Chilas, Krishna sported with Tulsi along with Lakshmi. And Saraswati, the goddess of learning, became very angry. And Saraswati started yelling at Tulsi. And Tulsi disappeared because her feelings were hurt. And Krishna again went to Saraswati and said, "This is all right," and pacified her, listened to her for a while. And he went to the Tulsi forest because he was feeling great separation from Tulsi. And he was crying. He was crying. Krishna was crying because he was feeling so much separation from his great devotee. And then he started meditating on Tulsi, and he began worshiping her. He said, I offered obeisances. He said, "Obeisances to Tulsi Devi, queen of the Vrindavan forest," because actually Tulsi Devi is Vrinda Devi. Vrinda Devi controls the whole Vrindavan Forest and ranges for all of Krishna's pastimes in Braj. And Krishna performed a whole worship with a ghee lamp, frankincense, flowers, and other offerings. And he said, anyone who does the same worship that I'm doing, because Krishna was the original worshiper of Tulsi Devi, will achieve complete perfection. And so that's the Tulsi Devi story. Yeah. And there's actually more, but we don't have time to tell. So now we're going to have the marriage of Tulsi Devi, which is a havan, a fire sacrifice. And I'm very happy to have everybody here. And we're all encouraged to participate in this marriage, right? And so, who's in charge of the marriage? Who's the master of ceremonies or the... I guess you are, right? Oh, Dijan Ryan or you? Dijan Ryan, it's good to see you. Dijan Ryan is the incarnation of Sankirtan. The Sankirtan Yajna for here in Nugaloka. Yeah, he's been preaching all day long. That's why he came late. He has so much energy that sometimes I have to ask him, where do you get your energy from? And he says, from the same place you get your energy. But he has unlimited energy for serving Krishna. He's just amazing devotee. We want to appreciate, because, you know, appreciate all the service he's doing to please Srila Prabhupada by this book distribution. Okay, so what happens now? I did my part. So all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.
So if everybody could just move a little away from the arena. And
Danny, it's good to see you. Damodar Priya, Danny.
Please come forward.
So,
and also,
Hare Krishna.